Thank you, young lady, for a beautiful song. I know that Andy would appreciate your prayers this evening. He's not feeling very well, but he still stand before us and deliver his message that the Lord has given him. So I pray you'll give him your prayerful attention and hold him up in your prayers. Our speaker of the hour, Brother Andy Brown. I almost call him Andy.
Good evening to each of you. I'll only take these off 50 times, but I do have a message. I don't know exactly where it'll go. I believe it to be a simple message, but hopefully one that is applicable to each of us, or at least to most of us. I'd like to start out with a verse of scripture that doesn't have anything to do with my sermon. I'll freely admit that. Just as I contemplated the day. That's going to be in Daniel in the second chapter, verse 43. And it says, "And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, and they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with the clay. In the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and a kingdom that shall not be left to other people, but is it shall break into pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and shall stand forever. For as much as thou seest the stone which was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it breaketh into pieces the iron and the brass and the clay and the silver and the gold, that the great God hath made known unto thee, king, that which shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation of thereof is sure." Hopefully this is a verse of scripture that is very familiar to most all of you. What's the day today? April 6th. What happened 184 years ago? The gospel was restored to the earth. That's just a little side note. This verse of scripture, and sometimes I think, I don't know if we take it for granted, or I do, or that we don't really think about it, but that day 184 years ago was a definite mark on the timeline that God had for mankind. It fulfilled something that had been prophesied from Daniel, you know, some 600 years prior to the birth of Christ, clean down to 1830. So, you know, it just a side note that today is the church's birthday, not really birthday, but restoring of the church. And I hope that we remember that, and we also take it to heart, and that we believe that it shall stand forever. The gospel's never going to be restored again. But it's in the hands of each of us in our generation to be the caretaker of and to be the promoter of it to mankind. Okay, now we can get on with what we came here for. In Romans, the book of Romans in the 7th chapter, there's a few verses of scripture. I take it back. I'm gonna start in Mosiah. I'll go to Romans next, though, so keep your spot there. In the book of Mosiah, in the 11th chapter, on verse 186. And I'll read verse 186 through 193. It says, "For he said," and this is Alma speaking, and he's recalling or writing the, Mosiah's writing the events of his conversion, of Alma's conversion. It says, "For he said, I have repented of my sins, and have been redeemed of the Lord, behold, I am born of the Spirit. And the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, man and woman, all nations, kindred, tongues, and people, must be born again. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters, and thus they become new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. And I say unto you, unless this be the case, ye must be cast off. And thus I know, because I was like to be cast off. Nevertheless, after waiting through much tribulation, repenting nigh unto death, the Lord in mercy has seen fit to snatch me out of the everlasting burning, and I was born of God. My soul has been redeemed from the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. I was in dark abyss, but now, behold, a marvelous light of God. And this was almost, most of you recall the event of, that he was an enemy of the church and went about trying to destroy the church. But an angel come and stood before him, and he fell to the earth, and he wrestled with this for some 2 or 3 days, and people thought, of course, he was going to die, and he didn't. But in that time, this marvelous change came in his life, a marvelous change of darkness to light, of carnal man to righteousness, he says. Now let's go to Romans. And that's why I said my message tonight really is going to pivot around that thought right there. And in Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 14, I used this verse a couple weeks ago when I preached up in Payson, and I haven't been able to shake it. And I came back to it again today, and I thought it to be really what's upon my heart. The 7th chapter, we'll start in verse 14. And this is Paul writing in one of the times that he admits or shares with us some of his weakness. Paul shares some of his weakness. And, of course, we realize that Paul was the most prolific writer of the New Testament and oftentimes is very instructional. And we don't see too many of the personalities or the struggles that he has personally. But I think he shares with us this thing, particularly for the value that is written here. So it's a little bit difficult to read, so I'll try and not stumble through it too bad. But listen to what it has to say, because I think you'll find a likeness within our own selves. In verse 14 it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, and sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that I do, that do I not. But that I hate, that I do. And I'm going to continue to read a few more verses, but I want you to not be confused with all the I do's and don'ts here. But think about Paul's message of the thing he struggles with is himself. As Alma said, there has to be a change within us. This carnal man, the scriptures tell us in the Book of Mormon, this carnal man is an enemy to God. Who I am naturally is an enemy to God. And I'm here to tell you there's probably not a day goes by that I don't recognize that. Probably not a day goes by that I don't see that in myself. Thus being the struggle. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And I find this in my own life, that to do my own will is ever present with me. Ever present with me. But to perform that which is good, or that which the Lord would have us to do constantly, Paul says, I find that not. I don't find that. Where's that at in my own life? He knows where it's at scripturally. He knows where it's at, what the Lord expects of us, just like you and I do. But this struggle of life is against the carnal man, who we are naturally. The thing we're trying to overcome is this individual that gives in to temptation, that gives in to trial, that allows themselves, or we consider ourselves, having the right to be angry, to be frustrated. You know, I've made a comment to my wife a few times that, you know, some days I'm just not of any value for human consumption. I need to be away from everybody. You know, I just am frustrated. I'm overwhelmed. You know, somebody just needs to drop me in the ocean and let me swim for a few hours. You know, it just, but we don't have a right to excuse ourselves in this way. And Paul is saying here that when we do these things, it's because sin dwelleth in you. That's what he said. You know, he said, I know what to do. I know what I need to do. I know how to do it, but I don't get it done. And this was the Apostle Paul. And I'm like saying, amen, I'm with you. There's oftentimes I know exactly what needs to be done, who I need to go visit, what needs to be taken care of in a certain situation, and I don't get it done. I don't get it done. But Paul says when we struggle in these ways, it's because sin dwelleth in you. Let's continue on. Verse 19. It says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Can we relate to that? Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So does that mean I have a right to do that? Because it's not me doing it, it's sin, right? No, he's saying that we allow things into our life and they're a hole in our armor. We allow sin to live in our life, some aspect of our life that we justify our sin in. Guess what? That hampers our ability to put off the carnal man. That leaves us wide open for attack. Verse 21. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I know for myself that when I was younger than I am now, and had a lot of struggles in life, you know, I wasn't married or maybe just newly married, and I had little children, and I thought, you know, one of these days, this is all going to get easier. This is all going to get easier. I'll have these things that are trials and temptations and desires which are ungodly. I'll have these things whooped. It's all going to get easier. No. The Apostle Paul here is saying it. When I do good, evil is present. This is the struggle we face. And really what we're talking about is self-justification, allowing ourselves the right to not be fully committed to God's law. Verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." You know, and I think we can relate to that. In our heart, in the desires of our heart, we want to do what's good. We want to fulfill the law of God. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." I hope we can relate to that. I know I can. "And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." He's talking about in his flesh. You know, we can have lofty, goodly desires to serve the Lord every day, all day long. But there's always something there, isn't there? There's always something there to bring us down. And I think we need to recognize this isn't something that's just me. It's not just something that's just you. Not just something that was in our generation. Oh, well, we have TVs and they didn't back then. So, you know, we have to put up with more. No. Sin, the struggle against self and self-will has been the struggle since the beginning. Since the Lord walked on the earth. Really, even from the very beginning. You know, the desire to fulfill our own desires and not to do that which was godly. So there's this war, there's this battle within ourself, within our physical self, and against our heart. And here this is the Apostle Paul writing. And in verse 24, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And he's going to answer that question. He says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then that the mind, I myself, serve the law of God, but in my flesh, the law of sin." And so we recognize that this is going to be a struggle. And oftentimes we end up serving sin, don't we? We oftentimes find ourselves on the wrong side of God's law. And thank goodness, through Jesus Christ, there's repentance. There's forgiveness offered. But the thing I wanted to talk about tonight, and I have a few other scriptures, but the thing I really want to get to the bottom of is, if I have a struggle in life, and I'm just going to assume that everybody in here has a struggle. Not the same one, I'm assuming. Some things that bother some people never bother me. You know, I've never had a problem with alcohol. It just doesn't bother me. I'm just not interested. Okay? I don't know it's always going to be that way, but right at the moment, up to this point, that's not a struggle for me. But I can guarantee you I have other struggles. And these things get the best of us when we allow, we make a decision, a conscious decision, to allow sin to live in our life. When we don't combat the thing that is our struggle, when we don't fight against it, when we don't put it in our place and access the strength and the power that comes through Jesus Christ. But He's all cleansing. He doesn't want us to keep one little corner of the house dirty over here. He wants us to clean the whole house out, turn the whole thing over to Him, our entire heart, every aspect of our life. So if we have little chunks of our life that we allow sin to dwell in, guess what? We're going to be here. We're going to struggle. We're always going to struggle, but we're going to really struggle, as Paul was saying here, when sin dwelleth in us. I have a few other scriptures, again, of Paul's writing. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians and read there in chapter 2. Starting in verse 9, another very familiar scripture. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 9. It says, But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the thing which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath received them unto but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we speak not the words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he receive them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judge all things, yet he himself is not judged of man. So here Paul has given us a little bit of insight, and I know a lot of people like to quote that verse of Scripture, you know, I hath not seen nor ear heard the things God has prepared for us. That's a beautiful scripture. Hopefully that's a hope that each one of us in this room have. That this doesn't go on forever in our struggle here in this life. To feel pain or sickness or sadness, those things are going to pass away. We can't even imagine the beautiful, wonderful things that God has prepared for us. But then Paul goes on to tell us something else here, doesn't he? He says those things are spiritually discerned. The things that we need to know as believers, the things that need to be written upon our heart as followers of Jesus Christ, are spiritually discerned. Paul says that we didn't receive the spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God, which we might know the things which are freely given of him. If we nurture, if we invite that Spirit of God to be our daily companion, all the time. You know, there's a verse of Scripture, and I can't tell you off the top of my head where it's at. It says, that God's hand is extended all the day long to us. And I can envision that and have for a long time, that the Lord is always reaching out to us. His hand's always reaching out to us. But oftentimes we find ourselves too far away to get a hold. He hasn't moved. He's staying in the exact same spot, reaching out to us. But because of the things in our life, when we allow sin to come into our life, we're separating ourselves from God. We're moving a little further off, a little harder to hear his voice, a little harder to discern those spiritual things, a little harder to reach out and grab a hold of his hand. If we want to be successful in our fight, our war against the carnal man, then we have to be spiritual. We can go down here to the local club or gym and lift weights all day long. Run, exercise, eat healthy, drink protein drinks, and that's not going to strengthen you a bit to overcome these things. It's spiritually discerned. You have to find your knees and call upon the name of the Lord. You have to seek Him, and you have to invite Him in by opening your heart. And He will forgive you. It's not that He might forgive you. He will forgive you. And He will come and make His abode with you. You know, the first verse of Scripture we read there talking about Alma. You know, Alma was an enemy to God. But like that, not quite, 2 or 3 days, he became a servant of the Lord for the rest of his life and became a wonderful instrument in the Lord's hand. But you have to be willing. He still had to make a decision. Even though he was racked with this great torment, he had to call out upon the name of the Lord and ask for forgiveness. The first thing he said is, I have repented of my sins. And as the Apostle Paul so stated, you know, but the natural man receiveth not these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. We find a lot of people in our day and age, or probably throughout all the ages, that look at Christianity or the dependence upon a higher deity as being foolishness. Oh, you don't need to do that. I'm strong enough to take care of myself. And yeah, you know, I know guys that don't believe and don't really have the Lord in their life, and they get through life pretty well. They have struggles like everybody else. The problem is that's why we're here. That's the whole purpose. We're on the planet. It's not to get rich and famous. It's not to be have our name up on the lights or up on the side of a big building. It's that we might prepare to meet God, to go and to live with Him. We'll continue on. The nice thing about this newer clock, the reflection of the light, I can't see what time it is. 1 Corinthians, 10th chapter. We'll start in in verse 1 in 10th chapter, and we're going to read 10 or 12 verses here. 10th chapter, 1 Corinthians. It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud and did pass through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And when he says our fathers, he's talking about the house of Israel. Came out of Egypt with Moses. Second verse, and were all baptized with Moses in the cloud and the sea, and they did eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink. And they did drink of the spirit of that spiritual rock that did follow them, and that rock was Christ. Now we're going to look at a little different part of that. Let's continue on to the fifth verse. And it says, and with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. And he's going to list here some things that happened, and you'll recognize it in the story of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt and in the wilderness and some of their struggles. But he's saying this was for, it's written here for our example, so we don't go down that same path. Verse 6, and now these things were our example, verse 7, neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. And these were God's people, but he didn't tolerate that. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world are come. It says, therefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Okay? We know that throughout history of the house of Israel, many thought that, you know, and they said when Christ was on the earth and walked in Israel, he said, we're of Abraham's seed. What does that mean? Does everybody here knows what that means? They're saying, hey, I'm from the seed, the house of Israel. I'm of Abraham's seed. Don't you know who you're talking to? I'm of Abraham's seed. And what did Christ tell him? Of these stones, I can rise up Abraham's seed. Same here. The Apostle Paul is recalling these things that fell upon the house of Israel, and he kind of makes a conclusion of it. He says, therefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Just because you got a piece of paper at home that says, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, that's not a free ticket. That's not a pass through life. It only counts if you put it to work. It only counts if you separate yourself from this world and call upon the name of the Lord and put into our lives righteousness. That's really the choice. Sin or righteousness? The carnal man or the Spirit of God? That's the catalyst on both sides. I'm going to read in Alma. Nineteenth chapter of Alma. Start in verse 71. Page 451. Verse 71 says, now the decrees of God are unalterable, therefore the way is prepared, and whosoever will may walk therein and be saved. The key word there is will. If your desire, your will, is to walk therein, you can be saved. And now behold, my son, do not risk any more offenses against your God upon the points of doctrine which you have hitherto risked commit sin. You know, and if I recall correctly, you know, his son was doing things in self-justification. I can do this. The law doesn't teach against that. We can be guilty of that. Do not suppose, because it has been spoken concerning restoration, that ye shall be restored from sin to happiness. Behold, I say unto you, wickedness, or sin, never was happiness. And now, my son, all men that are in the state of nature, or I would say the carnal state, are in the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. They are without God in the world, and they have gone contrary to the nature of God. Therefore, they are in a state contrary to the nature of happiness. The nature of God is happiness. I use this verse all the time. You know, I believe it's in Matthew. It says, the Lord said, I came to bring life and life more abundant. That life is life eternal. Life more abundance is happiness and peace and joy in this carnal state that we find ourselves. But we're not going to be happy. We can have times of joy. I'm not saying that. We can. I know people that are non-believers, and they go to the park and have a picnic and have a good time and enjoy themselves, or maybe go to the beach or whatever. I'm not saying you can't be a happy individual, but true, lasting happiness, peace, only comes through Jesus Christ and a life lived for Him. Not just with your mouth, with your actions, a life lived for Him. I'm going to read the 75th verse again, and it says, "And now, my son, all men are in a state of nature, or I would say a carnal state, are in the gall, bitterness, and the bonds of iniquity, and without God in the world, and they have gone contrary to the nature of God, therefore they are contrary to the nature of happiness. And now behold, is the meaning of the word restoration is to take a thing of a natural state and place it in an unnatural state, or place it in a state opposite to its nature. Oh, my son, this thing is not the case." So, you know, what he's saying is that if you go out of this world as a wicked individual, you're not going to be restored to happiness. You're not going to be restored to peace and righteousness. Now, today, is the decision, the time to make that decision. You know, I've been taking care of my dad the last several months on the weekends, and here coming up in a couple weeks, he's going to be 87 years old. He's had a good long life. You know, he's still hanging in there. Still able to enjoy his family. A lot of his days aren't real joyful, but we don't know. I don't ever anticipate living that long myself. It'd be nice, I'd like it, but I just don't see it. Maybe he didn't either, I don't know. But we don't know. It's not up to us. When we get to exit from this life, it's not up to us. It's up to the Lord. What is up to us, are we making the decision today, to serve the Lord? To start the process, or continue the process, of turning this carnal, natural enemy of God into a righteous son or daughter of our Father. That's the question. Faced all mankind since the beginning. But it's present today in our laps. We need to make the decision. Of course, we need to make the right one. Well, I got another verse or two, but you know, I think I've really brought the message that I had on my heart today. It's one of no tangible thing. It's not one that you can look in my life and say, you need to do this and this. Maybe you can, I don't know. But for each of us individual, my desire today and for myself is that we put sin out of our life, put righteousness into our life, and live in the Spirit of God. Thank you.